Hi guys, I know it's been a while since I last uploaded here on Wrestling Fan Reaction Podcast, exclusively to you guys for your listening pleasure, even if it's on Spotify, Podbean, and other platforms such alike. Now, I just want to say to all of you guys, massive thank you to everyone that's actually hit that follow button or subscribe button, whatever they want to class it as, right here on those very audio platforms. Now, it's been a while since I've actually been talking about professional wrestling. As I sound like a stuck record, I've been busy with personal commitments and obviously work commitments and so on. I actually took a week off for the love of wrestling 4, which was happened last weekend. I will be talking about that in duration, obviously, of this upload for you guys right here for your listening pleasure. Now, I just want to say to everyone of you guys is that I've been keeping tabs on professional wrestling, and I'm excited about professional wrestling, even though I don't get a chance to watch it like I did before. And I've stressed this, I don't think on a podcast, but I think I have at the same time, so bear with me if you've heard this before, or you're fresh and new around here, and you've heard what I've actually had to say about professional wrestling. Now, with me and my work commitments and personal commitments, I cannot watch every single thing that either WWE does stuff, ROH does stuff, TNA does stuff, AEW do stuff. You know, quite honestly, it will take up all my time. You know, I've got to work for a living to pay the bills. And I do this for free, and I enjoy doing this for free because, quite honestly, I love to talk about it left, right, and center, but obviously I've got to fit it around my busy schedule. And sometimes it can be quite daunting because of obviously the time difference. If I'm on the AM shift, I have no time to watch professional wrestling live. Or if it's like on when I'm just after my PM shift and I'm off the next day, I'm just exhausted. And I've got to fit in time to look after my family, pretty much day-to-day life. You know, I'm really surprised when people can actually schedule it in for people to watch professional wrestling, even though they've got a busy life. So I just mind blows me. It's like when I used to do YouTube videos constantly, and even if it was Impact Wrestling, WWE, etc. I'll be honest with you guys, it's like I would like watch the weekly product and just say it finishes about. People just don't realise how much grueling it can be for someone like myself. It's because you look at it in the busy spectrum of my life. If I watch, just say, something like Monday Night Raw, and you look at the time difference in the United Kingdom, and I didn't hear it live like a lot of people can, it's because I used to record it, no matter how long it is, and then upload it. And that's pretty much how it was all the time. But the problem is, I was that much of a perfectionist when it came to it. I tried to do, like, sort of added on screen bits, etc., for all my reviews. You know, I have, like, templates advertising my social media. And it was just absolutely crazy because I had to edit that. And then by the time that's been edited, then I have to upload it. And then by the time I've uploaded it, I think it's about 6 going on 8 o'clock in the morning sometimes if my internet was lagging behind. So I'll leave it running, I'll go to sleep, and sometimes it'll crash or stuff like that. And it was hard to keep up with. And that's what pretty much how it is with me when I see professional wrestling. Even though I've had this pretty much, by the time I go back to work on Saturday, I would have had 8 days off. And that's obviously to recover from the full of wrestling. I've had a great time there, and I'll go on to that in due course. So now you can understand why I don't actually talk 24/7 about professional wrestling, even though I do love talk about professional wrestling. And people just got to understand that. So I hope you do. Now, I just want to say to everyone of you guys is, whilst I've been out the loop as such, watching it live, even though I still watch clips, I'm blown away what WWE are doing right now. The simple factor is to make it interesting for the likes of Cody Rhodes, The Rock, The Bloodline, all that scenario. Seth Rollins intertwined, even though he's injured. CM Punk's out injured, you know, and quite honestly, it's just mind-blowing feat to see them to go to Road to WrestleMania 40. Can't believe we're on WrestleMania 40, guys. I really cannot. And I look at the bigger spectrum and I look going forward and I'm thinking, okay, this is an interesting storyline. You know, when wrestling was so predictable, this storyline has been so predictable, unpredictable, more than predictable in a long period of time. Because you don't know which way WWE are going with this. And I'm grateful for them to do this because it makes wrestling fans talk about professional wrestling. Like they're proud to be wrestling fans. And you know when people used to say, oh, how boring and flat and everything. I think it's interesting, even though it's not just this storyline, even though the main focus is obviously Cody, etc., etc., etc. Because it gets people start thinking they could be the fantasy booker. We've been doing this for many years, but a lot of people are openly speaking about it, which is good to see because it's social media. You're promoting the product either way, if it's good or bad. And I love the fact the way you can actually play scenarios in your head, which way it could go, which way a different way it could go. I've been doing that all weekend, like when I was talking to my WWE family member. Rodders, big shout out to you, Rodders, that you could go either way. We was only having a little chat about it. And you could go one way, you could go another way, you could go another way. That's why I like what WWE are doing right now. And obviously the main focus is obviously with the likes of Cody, The Rock, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. It's a interesting way to say nothing but the least the way they're going to go forward for it. Now, I just want to say to you guys, as I'm hoping WrestleMania 40 delivers after all this build, even though the main focus is on that, and I'm intrigued to see what other matches they've actually built up going forward. I'm hoping the show, like highlight package, are building up that, because quite honestly, social media at the moment is dominated by that sort of main event. And going forward, we look at the likes of Becky Lynch after her next title, and you look forward. I look forward to that because, quite honestly, you look at the likes of Becky Lynch, the way she's been portrayed in the company, and quite honestly, with all the injuries that technically the WWE has got at the moment, I feel she's fit going forward to Rhea Ripley. I think it's Rhea Ripley's title. I could be wrong. I do apologize about this. But I find it interesting the way they built up some women in the women's division. Rhea Ripley, a prime example. The man, Becky Lynch. Yeah, fair enough. She's going for X amount of titles. But you've got to think logically what will put butts in seats for the women's match. And that's probably one of them going forward. And I'm all for the likes of Becky Lynch going for the numerous of titles that she's going for and numerous of title matches that she's actually had. And I'm not being funny to you guys, is that it's been very hard to build up the women's division as such, even though the women's division in the WWE is thriving at the moment once again, even if it's in the likes of NXT, even if it's like on SmackDown and Monday Night Raw. And then you got to think that when people are complaining, probably because Becky Lynch is there, what are you going to do? Put another Charlotte Flair title run? I think she's currently out injured. That probably could have been the way they actually were going forward, but I feel like there wasn't. But when you look at the clientele the women have actually got, and I'm grateful to see the likes of a fresh new face for the past maybe 2-3 WrestleManias that's actually been built up incredibly. It's obviously Rhea Ripley. Incredible build, the way she's actually had a focus point. And I'm not sure, but I've not actually kept tabs on the likes of the Judgment Day, but correct me if I'm wrong. Is she technically built as the leader of the Judgment Day? If that's good, that's good, because quite honestly, it's girl power, and a lot of people respect Rhea Ripley for what she's actually done for the business. And I feel that was really good technical when, obviously, Edge split feathers with Judgment Day. I'm really surprised as long as it has actually lasted, to be honest, but you never know where it's going to go. And I've said this before. I felt like within the past 4 years, I would actually say this, and I was like, clear, thank God they brought stables and factions back, because quite honestly, I felt like in the WWE, that was actually what was missing. And I couldn't put my finger on it for many years until I actually saw the likes of the stables of like the Bloodline, obviously Judgment Day, stuff like that. You know, I don't think there's another stable other than the New Day. I feel like the New Day's sort of ran its course, and that's just me being honest. I feel like they need to do something with the members, obviously, like the likes of Big E. I think he's still currently out injured. You've got the likes of Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston still knocking about, portraying as the New Day. And there could be other stables I've not named but a few. You know, I lose track on professional wrestling. So that's what I mean. It's just like WWE at the moment is thriving at the moment. I felt last year was a hot year for WWE as also as AEW, but I feel like this year going forward, obviously the likes of AEW, I'm really looking forward to what AEW has to offer. Yeah, there's a few niggling bits that I want to actually say to you guys is that with AEW, think about it. This company has been around maybe five years now, I think it is, or four or five, I can't recall. But I look at AEW, yeah, as a great alternative to WWE. And the people that, you look at the way how people were portrayed in AEW, other than saying thank you, Sting, for all that you've done for the wrestling industry, I've got around to saying it. I've not watched Revolution yet. This is proves how much I'm behind on the likes of AEW. But I've seen clips. Don't get me wrong. I just want to say thank you, Sting, from, a.k.a. Steve Borden, from the bottom of my heart, everything that you've actually done for the wrestling business. You're a true inspiration to many people going forward, and I'm full grateful that I got to meet him when I did. I'm grateful for that. And I thanked him there. Obviously, you see my vlog over on Daily Motion. Yeah, I still use that platform because WWE somewhat do not like my product because they've flagged a lot of my vlogs down, and it's annoying me when that actually happens because flagged for copyright infringement sort of thing with obviously music in the background, and it does my head in sometimes. So far, so good with my Flow for Wrestling 4 vlog. I've not had that experience yet, which is actually I am so grateful for. But I digress on all that. And quite honestly, the one thing that really makes me really annoyed with certain wrestling fans, and I'll be honest with you, that you're very fickle towards AEW, and quite honestly, you look at the likes of Darby Allin, yeah, we know he's a sick fuck for whatever he does in that wrestling business. So yeah, he may bring some harm to himself. Yeah, fair enough. But diving through a table with real glass, or a slater table, pane of glass, whatever you want to class it as. Quite honestly, I just want to say to you guys is, yes, that was a mad spot. Yes, he's nuts for doing it, but you got to understand that they wanted to make that match memorable for Sting, and that this is technically overshadowed Sting's match with people critiquing it. But numerous of people for many, many years have literally supported hardcore wrestling. We've had the likes of Mick Foley, a.k.a. Mankind, have cheer after cheer shot over to his head so he's knocked out. Obviously lost an ear by getting himself tangled in the ropes. I think he was facing Vader at the time. We've had numerous hardcore wrestling in the past, so people are saying he's nuts for doing what he did. You look at the likes of ECW when you watch the old stuff, and people used to cheer for it and mark out for it, and it's like two and two you put together. It's like 2024 now, and it just shows you how much wrestling fans have changed over the years. You know, my generation loved hardcore wrestling. They put their body on their line for our entertainment. And Darby Allin's doing that, and people are critiquing him for what he's actually doing. And I feel like that's hard done by, because the guy wanted to make that match memorable, even though it's overshadowed the whole thing towards, obviously, the likes of Sting retirement match. And personally, I would just say this. I would have loved to have seen Darby Allin versus Sting. And we've got to think on our mindset. When I was thinking, when they announced he was retiring at Revolution, I was honestly thinking in my head, okay, why are we not getting that match? And I think I mentioned it on my Flubber Wrestling vlog at the train station whilst I was weighing it. Maybe Sting can't keep up with the likes of Darby Allin because of how fast paced he is and everything. And he didn't, don't get me wrong, he had so much left in the tank. He did a great job of what I've actually seen in that match, but I think long and hard, I feel like it was sensible for them to do it as a tag team match and make him retire as champion. That was a nice little touch. Was it right to pick the Young Bucks? Somewhat, I feel like it was, because obviously their position in the company as what they've actually got it going forward. And I find it interesting when I've actually seen a clip of now Okada in the likes of AEW, and he's teaming with them. And they're saying the likes of Kenny Omega being fired. Obviously, we know this is a work because he's healing from, obviously, his wrestling injuries. And this could be future-proofing for the likes of AEW going forward. Because you look at what they say out of the blue, that he's actually fired and they've replaced him with Okada. This could be interesting because nothing but the least, because fast-forwarding down the line when Kenny Omega's match fit and ready to get back in the ring, who's to say down the line, possibly end of this year, going into next year, whenever he's returning, we do not know yet, but this could be future-proofing for a feud between Kenny Omega and Okada. How great that would be for the likes of AEW to put this match on. Because quite honestly, it could go down that way, could not go down that way. I'm just guessing where the position they are actually doing. And speaking of AEW, I love the way they brought Will Ospreay in, and they're already teasing towards Bryan Danielson. I, for one, would love to see that match. I lost my shit with the stare down with the clips that I've actually seen online. And I just want to say this from the bottom of my heart, AEW, stop wasting dream matches or matches that want people want to see on your weekly product or your TV specials. Build them up for your pay-per-views. You did this sort of thing with MJF and Samoa Joe for the title, but now you are doing it possibly for the same with Will Ospreay. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because you're going to, even though you will not get the views that you are hoping for, even though you're putting these dream matches, the internet's wet dream. And that's what annoys me with the likes of AEW. That's one of the TV problems I don't like. I like it if you are building towards something weekly. Don't get me wrong, I can handle that. But I can't handle the fact that AEW would waste just to try and get those views in, and it doesn't seem that way, even though the booking style is interesting going forward. But I feel like you should literally build this up towards a pay-per-view match, not as a rubber match bouncing back from obviously what you did with the likes of Samoa Joe and MJF last year. And obviously we know MJF is currently out injured. But at least one thing, you've got Will Ospreay, treat him right. Because obviously we know full well he's a main event megastar right already. He's internet's biggest darling, and treat him right, you might get those ratings in and those buy rates that you want on those pay-per-views. I wanted this as one of my dream matches to be put in when he first comes in the company. And you are sort of doing that even after his debut match at Revolution. And I'm interested to see what they do with this guy. Because I want him to feud with the likes of Darby Allin. That'd be actually, because they're both fast-paced, both take daredevil moves left, right, and centre, and I'm all for it. You know, if this actually materializes, another one, Jeff Hardy. Yeah, people may say Jeff Hardy can't go as much as he used to, and obviously currently he's out injured because of obviously the Sammy Guerrero thing, obviously, that Sammy Guevara has actually been suspended for obviously doing that moonsault when he was not meant to do the moonsault. And the thing is, you can't always blame Sammy Guevara. I feel like they should have quit the match, not continued the match, if you know what I mean. And I would love to see what he could do with the likes of Jeff Hardy. Another one I would love to see at some point, him versus Sammy Guevara. Even though, yes, I've just mentioned him not that long ago, I feel like he is necessary to just sort of feud with him, because obviously he'd be another big shot, an ego boost for the likes of Sammy Guevara at a young age, and he's one of the best, if not the best, one of the high flyers in today's professional wrestling. Correct me if I'm wrong, please do, and prove me wrong. Another one I would love to see the likes of Will Ospreay feud with is Pac. Now we've actually seen the vignette of Pac coming back at Revolution, I feel like this will be an ideal classic of a match that you could actually build towards the likes of All In at Wembley. This could put extra butts in seats and build towards that, because quite honestly, obviously when Pac was on the independent scene, he was actually known as the man that gravity forgot. And when he went to the mainstream, the likes of being Adrian Neville, I was going to say Gary Neville then, if you didn't notice, being Neville in the likes of the WWE, then Will Ospreay sort of filled in the gap that he left behind. And quite honestly, I feel that it's necessary if they actually make this as a feud between them two, or make it as a ladder match to throw the extra spanner in the works. You know, because quite honestly, these two should feud going into All In at Wembley. I know we're just in March of 2024, but I feel like it's ideal for saving it for that feud towards that pay-per-view, because that's money-making right there. So there's my five feuds. I think it's five or four. I can't remember which of feuds going forward. Now, obviously, I mentioned previously about Full of a Wrestling Floor at Bowlers in Manchester. I, for one, thoroughly enjoyed vlogging and obviously hanging out with my WWW family, as well as obviously my YouTube family, the likes of Simon, AJ, Jimmy Loves Wrestling, or James Loves Wrestling, whatever you want to class it as. Ugh, I always butcher his name. Then obviously Simon Davis, Simon Michael Davis. I think that's how you say your name. Big shout out to you guys. Obviously Wheels, obviously World of Wrestling Figures over on YouTube as well. Great to hang out with those guys. Thanks ever so much to the likes of David Anderson. Not Attenborough, like I said in the vlog. I do apologise about that. I was absolutely fucking exhausted by that point, and my brain just went brain fart. I don't know why I was saying David Attenborough. Big shout out to Mark Sanders. A great guy. Those two that I've just mentioned, they were my camera guys. Obviously, I went to, when I did picture in picture, that was myself. It was quite difficult to film by one person, but it was great, the interaction I obviously had with all the wrestlers that I met. Just a mind-blowing weekend. I've whittled down from 5 hours footage down to just under 2 hours footage on that vlog. So please check it out, guys. Please, please, from the bottom of my heart, check it out. It's close to 200 views already. The response I've actually had from it was mind-blowing, to the point where Al Snow promoted it. I didn't ask him to. I just basically tagged him in my vlog post, and he shared it on his Instagram. That just blew my mind. You know, and guys, you can understand, it's just, it gets better and better and better. I just want to say this, the bottom of my heart, thanks for Monopoly Events to doing what you did for me and obviously my friends. it was a nice touch for obviously changing it around to be better. Not saying it better professional, but it was professional look compared to how it was last year. They took on board what we've given back on feedback from. I just love the way they put all the signings all on one side of the building instead of like trying to find them, if you know what I mean. And the way they put all the wrestlers out in one sort of one long line, I love the way that they actually did that. Because it gives it a really nice touch towards the likes of what they've got to offer. Monopoly events. I got to say this now. Even though you've been in the business not as long as some conventions, but you still shine above other cons that I've been to. And that's not just me for meeting the wrestlers that I wanted to meet. It's down to the people that are actually running the place. You know, for the likes of Andy and Emma, etc., like that. You know, they are so, so professional at what they do. And with the regular staff, they actually have regular faces. It's nice to be recognised by them. You know, it feels like I had the red carpet rolled out to me. Some way or form, but it wasn't that. It was because of the disability / diamond prize that I actually had. It pays off if you do invest into diamond passes. Yes, it may be a lot more than the general admission tickets, but if you wanted to do a lot of meet and greets, it's worth doing. The platinum price, I'll be honest with you, the platinum price this year was $2,000. The diamond pass was like 260, so you book whoever you want to meet. But with the Platinum Plus, you get everyone top priority and everything. But I feel like I'm being honest with you guys. I will always be honest with you guys. I felt like the Diamond Pass was worth it in the long run, because then I could actually, instead of investing all out in for that amount of money to be paid out in one go, I feel like, okay, this is going to be such an interesting feat to appeal to. And I feel like that, okay, that's a lot of money outright. You got to feel like you want to invest. If you want to invest in the Platinum Pass. I feel like, yeah, fair enough, if you're dedicated to it and you want to lose a lot of junk change out your wallet outright, I feel like, yeah, okay, then do it. But me personally, I wanted to do it bit by bit. Through obviously my wages, because I found it hard sometimes to save, and that's just me being honest. So I thought, okay, fair enough, I'll do the diamond / disability pass. And quite honestly, I'm glad I did do it the way I did, because I got everything done and everyone that I met. If I bought general, it would have been difficult. A lot difficult. I would have probably missed probably maybe 5 or 6 of the guests that I actually paid to meet. So that's just me being honest with you guys. But overall, great experience. Head over to my YouTube channel via the link tree down below. Check out that vlog, please do, because I've worked so hard on that. I got back into Nottingham Monday, roughly about 3:30, got home about 4 in the afternoon, transferred all the files over to my computer, edited it. I didn't fall asleep till gone maybe 5-6 in the morning on Tuesday, even though I was meant to be due up at 7 o'clock doing other stuff whilst I was off work, while I'm off work. And then obviously let it finalize, do it shit, what it does, you know, so once I've edited it and then finalized it, and then uploaded it later on the day, you know. And I think I've done a really good job on that. And that's just me not blowing my own ego. But the whole weekend was actually amazing. To hang out with my friends once again, I do not see often. I think my next vlog will probably be in AEW All In 2024. Plans are in full swing for next year's for Love of Wrestling 5. I haven't got my admission ticket yet, but I've got my hotel booked. I've got a hotel room for 3 nights for $399. So that's a bargain. considering when football matches, etc., like that, be announced, obviously near the start of next season, I'm intrigued to see which way it's going to go. But anyway, guys, I'm off. I thought I'll upload this for you guys to update you what's going off. Hopefully in the near distant future, I will be doing more podcasts because, quite honestly, I love doing podcasting as well as, obviously, my vlogs when I do them. But it's due down to, obviously, my rotor at work. It just depends. But I hope you can understand that. But you can always check out all my social media outlets, even my YouTube channel and my Instagram if you want to see the photos who I actually had with over on my Instagram. But until next time, guys. Catch you guys soon for another upload here, exclusive for you guys to listen on Wrestling Fan Reaction Podcast.